weird.
All right.
Nothing.
Welcome to the Toddcast, Volume 7, Episode 6, I think, right?
Is it 6?
Is that where we're at?
I don't know. I should write this stuff down. We haven't been canceled yet. That's good.
Well, that'd be a little hard. Yeah. I think we're at episode 6. If not, it's episode 5. But whatever. Anyway, welcome to the Toddcast.
You just take the number of the last episode and add one.
I am the Fat Rambo, John. I am with
TJ.
And
Bo.
Oh, none of you guys want to be Wheelbarrow or the Scoops Troop?
No, not today.
Or Bald Eagle?
I could do Bald Eagle.
There you go. All right. We don't have a whole ton of stuff coming up again. I know
you have vacation coming up.
I do. Next week, I'm excited. I'm going to be traveling to a couple shops on the eastern side of PA, down into Maryland, and possibly into Virginia. It's going to be a good time. Nice. We do have the 4th of July cookout. Oh, no, that was last weekend. Cookout and flea market. It was a lot of fun from everybody that told me they went. We have the Fun for All mini-con coming up on the 26th of this month. And I think that's pretty much it until the beginning of August. I think we have Butler's anniversary.
Where is the Fun for All mini-con at?
At Fun for All in Cranberry Township. It's just up the street from the store.
Okay.
So,
is this the first one of those?
No, this will be the second one of these.
How did the previous one, what was that like?
It was pretty good. I think we had something like 20 vendors. The room's not huge, but we had like 20-ish, 10 or 20 vendors. Tables are like $40.
Okay.
It was a mix of comics and toys and creators.
Okay.
A couple local creators and stuff. It was just fun. It's from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. And Fun for All is kind of cool because it's kind of like a Dave and Buster style thing.
So like an arcade then.
It's got an arcade, go-karts, batting cages, like a pool with like water stuff, like water activities.
Okay.
And mini golf and food. It just doesn't do beer.
Well, that part sucks, but the rest of that's cool.
Yeah, right? It's a lot of fun. Other than that, the only other cool new thing that I'd like to talk about is congratulating Tom Scioli from Pittsburgh on his announcement. He's going to be doing Fantastic Four Grand Design for Marvel. So, pretty excited about that. It's pretty cool. One guy that is like super into Jack Kirby-style stuff, doing a Jack Kirby-style book, is going to be cool.
So it'll be like the same treatment as this, the X-Men Grand Design, but just
Fantastic Four.
That's cool.
And where Tom gets to write and draw the whole book.
So.
All right. Well, that's a good segue into books. So my first book is X-Men Grand Design Extinction number 2, the very last Ed Piskor one.
I've not read any of those, even the first series.
Really?
No.
It's kind of cool. It's like X-Men abridged with Ed's art style.
I didn't actually read it until after I like watched his podcast thing with the comic cartoonist kayfabe.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I gotta see what this dude's all about. And I went back and started looking at it, and I read the first few books. I'm gonna catch up on it though. I need to read the rest of it. It's interesting.
Yeah, this section is the Siege Perilous through Days of Future Past. So it's kind of cool. Like, you get I don't know how many pages this is, 32 page probably, tour through X-Men where it actually makes sense in one big storyline, all with Ed's art. And there's a couple jokes that he puts in, like he'll paraphrase some of the dialogue to make it work. It's awesome. I've loved everything that he's put out because it's just it made it so much easier for me to remember, oh yeah, all this stuff happened in this order and this is what made sense. So if you like X-Men and you like Ed's art or writing style, you should check it out. The back actually is cool too, because it actually gives you like a little brief synopsis of where he pulled information from each exact page. So you can actually read the original stuff if you want to. Like page 15 of this book comes from Uncanny 257, 253, 250, and more 253. So like, it just tells you all the cool stuff in it. And then it at the end of each one, it actually tells you like, if you want to keep reading, where you should start. So in this one, if you want to read the rest of where this actually continued, you'd want to start reading issue 143.
That's cool, though.
Right? So it's kind of neat.
You think he'll revisit this?
I don't know if he will, but I think it's kind of a cool deal. I think it sold well enough for Marvel that it would be not a bad idea for them to do it. But I don't know for fact.
Yeah.
I think he had a lot of fun doing it. I know talking to him, he enjoyed the hell out of it.
It's a popular seller. I mean,
yeah.
Not like the other X-Men stuff, but people seem to really enjoy it. So
yeah.
I know it's got a cool, like, the trade of the first volume is like this massive, like almost treasure shop style edition. It's really cool looking. So
yeah, it's kind of neat. I just like Ed's style. I like everything he's done with it. I like his writing. I like his humor. It worked out. Like, and to just read all of that in, because there's six total books, so you basically get from the beginning of the X-Men through Days of Future Past in six total comics.
Right.
That's pretty nuts, you know? But he's a great guy, and the book's great, so check it out. I'm looking forward to Tom's Fantastic Four. I think it's cool that we got another Pittsburgh guy to do the next grand design.
That is cool.
So, and they're kind of cool dudes. And check out their comic book, Kayfabe. So, all right, that's my first book. What you got, Bo?
Book that was very intriguing this week. You did not read it yet, even though you should have.
No, I'm a slacker. I don't even have a book to review this
did week. You read this before I say the name?
Uh-uh.
No,
yeah.
Definitely should. One Left to Fight. Good luck. It's by Dark Horse. If you haven't found it yet, hopefully good luck in finding it. It's pretty sold out everywhere. You got one more copy, John. I suggest you maybe try it out.
Well, I guess it's going to be my copy then.
Yes, I got that one right there.
The one that's right in front of you is mine.
Because I ordered a little heavy on it, but it's by Aubrey Sitterson. I apologize if I said that name wrong.
Oh, no.
But it is absolutely fantastic.
That's the dude that wrecked G.I. Joe.
Is this a guy then?
It is a guy.
Well, he's doing something right then for sure. It is a mix of, like, because Dark Horse does some cool manga stuff, which I've never read. I'm not a manga guy, but I know Dark Horse has got some good, you know, good selling manga stuff. So this is kind of a mix between comic and manga. It was like I was saying the other day, I wanted something to read manga because my knowledge isn't. Well, this is like my way into it. It's kind of a mix. It seems like a little mix between Dragon Ball Z and just superhero oriented stuff.
Oh, this is that book that the guys at the Waterfront kept saying is a mix between Dragon Ball and Street Fighter.
Yes,
is what they said.
That's a great analogy. It is, yes. Yeah. But really cool. The first issue doesn't give you a whole lot. I mean, you're just kind of going through. The main character comes in to visit some of his old life, and basically, it's a title story. They have no one left to fight, and they're kind of just visiting their old fighting chums type of deal. And they go and some hotly contested between the two friends and the one guy's wife, and just trying to see who's better. It seems like they're trying to fight amongst themselves now. They have no one left, so they're fighting amongst themselves. But that's all we kind of get from it, and then find out that a few of them have a little bit more special powers than what you think they do. But definitely, if you can find a copy, pick it up. The artwork is really, really cool.
I like the color.
In the artwork, you can see where they took some things. Like the one guy has the beads that Akuma has in Street Fighter. Dude has a Naruto headband on and stuff like that.
But the fight scenes are big Dragon Ball Z, like screaming 20-second fight scenes and stuff like that. But really cool. Suggest if you can still find a copy or download a copy, whatever you can, check it out. It's very intriguing to see where it goes from here. Like I said, it was very popular. Definitely sold out. I think it's going to a second print, so hopefully you get those if you can. But super cool book. Was excited for it. Something I didn't think I would like, and I really did enjoy it. So try it out.
Sounds awesome. All right, since TJ has nothing, I'm going to go to my next book.
Yeah, I'm the slacker. I haven't read
anything. Way to go, man. So I'm going to talk about Fantastic Four Prodigal Son. So this is by Peter David, and I pretty much will read anything Peter David puts out because I really like him. Francesco Manna did the art, and I will say that both the writing is solid and the art is very, very solid in this book. I think this is kind of cool because, like, basically, like, an alien crash lands in the Savage Land and is some of the swamp people from the Savage Land find him, and they basically are going to take him to the Celestial. Is it the Celestial? Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was Celestial. Yeah.
Yeah. There was, like, an Evolutionary, a High Evolutionary's Tower. So they're taking him to the High Evolutionary's Tower. You see Kizar and Shayna call it the Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four are like, yeah, I guess this falls in with us. The kids end up tagging along. And then there's really awesome scenes where, like, the swamp people are riding chocobos.
That's exactly what that is.
Right? Right? And you see how strong this alien is. And his name is actually Prodigal, which is with, like, weird letters and hyphens and stuff, but it comes out to Prodigal. Valeria ends up, like, hanging out with Kazar's son, Matt, who's really old now because he fell in some kind of, time portal. The fight scene's cool. One of the swamp people gets a sweet ray gun. There's all kinds of crazy weather, people going nuts, just shooting everybody.
Dinosaurs.
Kind of a... Dinosaurs. Kind of a little fledgling love story between Matt and Valeria. And then the prodigal guy tries to steal their ship, and he gets lost in space, which then continues it into Silver Surfer Prodigal Son 1. So... it's kind of an interesting story that this dude just kind of shows up and is just like, I need to get back to where I'm going. And the swamp people are like, oh, check out this tower. It's got things that you should have in there. And all they really wanted was the weapons. So
I had low expectations for that book and I really enjoyed it.
But I picked it up on a whim because I was like, oh, Peter David. It was good. Sure.
But I tell you what made the book good is Prodigal. His interactions and what he says to the Fantastic Four. I could care less about the Fantastic Four, anything else about that book. His interactions, the way he talks is funny, and I'm intrigued to see what they do with that character. It's absolutely hilarious. So,
oh, yeah, because he's not from this world. They try to say stuff, and he's like, what?
He's just like a smartass, but at the same time, he's real... He reminds me almost like a little bit of a Deadpool in a way, too. Like, it was hilarious. Just really good. Yeah,
bitching about how his suit got blood on it from the dinosaur, and he's, like, kicking it.
Yeah.
It's really good. That character, he could be something.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. Checking out, it is going to continue over into a couple different books.
Reed's got a sweet beard.
I know, right? I love the bearded Reed Richards. It's great. I kind of like the way they're out, like the art they did their outfits in this one, because it's a really dark blue. It's not just like a bright blue like you used to see.
Yeah, it looks like.
Or even in
outfits.
The regular book, it's not even that dark. Mm-hmm. So, all right, Bo, what do you got?
Next book that I got to review is Lois Lane from DC, written by Greg Rucka. Get into this book and immediately close the book.
That bad?
It was... I don't even know. It's almost left me speechless. I was so looking forward to this, and then Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, they got that book coming back out just because it was a tie-in with Event Leviathan. That stuff's really intriguing. Greg Rucka, I don't know what you're doing. Stick to writing a comic.
This is another person, that let politics seep into their brain a little bit too much, and it's kind of warped their writing style. So, Bo will explain, I'm sure.
So much potential. I thought the book would be really cool to read. The question was in it, which was kind of... That was the only, like, saving grace of this book. She was in it. Yeah. She was in it. But otherwise, it was just a blatant mockery of everything political in this world. And I wouldn't waste your time on it. Greg Rucka, you lost some bonus points from me on this one.
I'm kind of intrigued to read it just to see how he did it. That's all. Yeah, like, that's the only reason why. I'm not a big fan of Lois Lane in general.
It was a Lois character, but it was political, his just political belief trash that I just think should be left out of comics and just write about the characters. Don't write about political climate.
Yeah, I hate to see that seeping into DC now. Marvel had that real bad for a long time. Still do, if you ask me. That's why I can't read half the Marvel books anymore.
Yeah, but even, like, classic Marvel stuff had that. That's why we have the X-Men.
Yes and no. There is a big difference between that and what you get now.
I guess, like, there is a tipping point on the scale where if you go a little too over, it does spoil it. So maybe that's the end you guys are talking
it
about.
It was. If you want to buy it for the variant cover for Jenny Friesen's awesome artwork. Mm-hmm. Buy it for that. Otherwise, shred it.
Older politics in comics, in my opinion, it was more like commentary on what was going on. Now it's more of trying to jam a certain agenda in your throat. So you're
more on the Watchmen vibe versus this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't care if there's politics. If you want to, like, you know, have a commentary on sort of what's going on or whatever, as long as the fiction's there, because we read comic books as a form of escapism. We're reading this for entertainment. Mm-hmm. If we want to see this garbage and what's going on today, we'll turn on the news.
Right. Okay. I got you.
But cool variant cover. Good job to Jenny. She was killer. She's gonna be an upper cover for cover arts and stuff like that. People are into that. She's killing, especially Wonder Woman stuff and that. Yeah.
Didn't she do like some Power Rangers covers too? They were pretty good. I thought she did. I know she did the Red Sonja stuff. That was awesome.
She did a lot of Dynamite work, actually.
Maybe that's what I was... maybe she did...
Vamprella stuff and some Red Sonja stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking. Anyway.
She's awesome.
All right, so the book we don't have in front of us that we're going to talk about for a few minutes because everyone sold out and the second prints are not in yet is The End of The Walking Dead. So I bought this purely to read it. And I ended up getting a miscut cover. Thanks, Bo.
what happened? What was miscut about it? Like,
yeah, it was, I'm like, curious. It was like an inch, almost a half inch off, like this. It was like a wedge cut down the side.
I'll take it back from you if you don't want it.
Nope.
Cool. So don't complain about it. Nope. I'll take it back from you. I'll give you mine.
Quality control.
Right.
Might be an exclusive.
Anyway, we kind of talked about, like, I've had a lot of conversations about it before I read it, because I read it last night, and one of the thoughts I had was maybe he ended it because he didn't want to have to do a whole another compendium, right? We kind of talked about that last time,
yeah.
And he actually states that in the letters he had this story written, and he just didn't know if he can make it go another 47 issues or 48 issues to get to that point, so he just decided to end it.
Like, who wants to read a bunch of filler too? If you don't really have a direction,
which I say is a good call.
I respect that.
Yeah.
He's never been a filler guy. He's not. The Walking Dead to me has been one cohesive, non-filler, cliffhanger after cliffhanger book.
See, a lot of people say, like, from 100 or 150 was like the last good chunk, and then from 150 to now has kind of been filler. From what I understand, anyway. So, for those of you who haven't read it, it's kind of a cool future story of Carl and his wife and his kid. And at this point, like, the trials. Yeah. When all the zombies are walking around, it's called the trials time. And Rick was the guy who basically pulled everybody out of that. And then eventually it stopped. And you have Maggie's kid, who basically wrangles zombies now and, like, uses them as, like, a circus freak show.
Sideshow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the book starts out with one of them get out, and Carl kills it with Michonne's katana in his yard. And then he has to go to court because it's considered damage of property at this point. And Maggie comes back, and she's the president. And it gets even crazier, and Carl kills, all of them. And then he kind of does this, journey to... I can't remember who he goes to see. But he goes somewhere else. He gets, a shopping list from somebody for all his tech.
He goes to see Eugene.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. He goes to Eugene, drops off all his tech, comes back. And when he comes back, he's, he has to go to court again, only this time it's, one of the Supreme Judges, a Supreme Justice, mm-hmm. and it's Michonne, and she pardons him, because she sides with him of the idea of, people don't remember the trials. They don't remember why this is a bad thing to have them mm-hmm. roaming around, and, it was kind of cool. It was kind of a bittersweet ending. It was really funny, though, because the girl he was dating when, not too long ago in the actual regular mm-hmm. continuity, that's who he goes to see Eugene with. And she basically tries to sleep with him mm-hmm. and then is like, why do you sleep with the eye patch cover? Don't you remember that time I licked your eye hole? oh, man, this is so crazy. But I thought overall, I thought it was a very well written bittersweet ending.
Type thing. Yeah, it had its high points and its low points.
The statue of Rick at the end was kind of cool. So
I still think the letter at the end is going to save him, and that's how he's going to get a pass from the fans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if he didn't have that explanation in there as to what was going on, I think people would be pretty pissed.
Well, his explanation where he wanted to end it even sooner. Thank God he didn't do that, because that was a terrible idea, and he even admitted that in there that it was been a terrible idea. I think
kept going back and forth as to when to actually end it.
So, like I said, I think the only thing that could have been done better is if Carl would have chopped Maggie's head off. That would have been great, because I don't know what they all turned into, but Carl was 100% right. I don't know what they have turned into, what their society turned into. Michonne sounds like she was definitely on the same page with Carl, so that was cool to see.
Yeah, having walkers is property like a horse or something
that. Yeah, that's a little weird.
And then finding him and trying to get him in trouble, really? But I thought they Kirkman punked Negan out a little bit and made him just this recluse inside a house. But then he keeps on saying, P.S. Negan's still alive. So I think maybe we might get a spinoff. I'm hoping.
Well, he left it open so people could come back to it. Maybe not even him. Maybe somebody else can write it and come back to that character.
Right. Literally the best character in Walking Dead history is, hopefully they'll open this door up for him still. So at least in my opinion, he's the best character. So. But that was a little weird seeing Carl kind of taking care of him, leaving supplies and food outside of his house, and he's got a graveyard with Lucille, a tombstone with Lucille on it, which is cool really still. Cool. But which could be talking about his wife or the bat, obviously. But a little bit of something. Come on, Kirkman, let that loose, let a little side story again loose on that'd be cool. That'd be your saving grace and forgive you for ending it. So
or like to see how he became the recluse.
Well, we've seen how he became the recluse, and here is Negan, or here we are Negan.
Mm.
Yeah, and there was a sub this was a few years back now. Yeah, so we know it was in the Image Plus book.
Oh yeah, and then they put it out into a
graphic novel. So we know what's his wife passed away, and he just went kind of bonkers. So his wife had cancer. He was a gym teacher. like I said, I'd like to see him do something with that. I kind of didn't really care for the way that he is right now. So let's continue on with something with him. So that'd be kind of cool.
So you want to see where he goes from now?
Yeah, don't care about anybody else. it's cool. They ended it. Rick died. Still don't like that he was taken out by the governor or what? Not the governor, but the mayor's son. Like of all people, take Rick out. You let this F character, not even A, B, or C or D character, an F character take out Rick. Come on,
right?
But.
All in all, though, I thought it was awesome. Really good. I read the last two issues, and I thought both of them were really well done.
So. I've been obsessed with the beginning. Can't stand a TV show. Love the comics. So it's kind of sad seeing it end. Like,
I mean, I stopped watching the show, like, after the governor left, so...
Just wasn't...
I really wanted him to roll the tank right through the prison and...
Yeah, it's too many good... They should have just followed along with the thing, and the show would have been so much better, but it is what it is.
All right. So, a couple books came out this week of note. Spider-Man 25, Batman 74,
When's King's last issue of Batman?
85.
Yeah.
All right, so I can actually look at
it. About a year. Bitterroot Summer Special One-Shot. Black Cat number 2. Care Bears number 1. Catwoman 13. Vox Machina Original Series number 2.
Or 2 number 1. Based off of.
It's a Critical Role thing.
People have been like...
But yeah,
apparently it's awesome. More popular than what I had anticipated.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what it was, but I did.
It has the words Critical Role added to it, so you should just buy a lot of it.
It was Critical.
Yeah.
I had a few copies.
Detective 1007. 1007. Event Leviathan 2. Flash 74. Ghosted in L.A. number 1, which looks kind of interesting from Boom. Giant Size Ecstatics number 1. Go-Go Power Rangers 21. Hawkman 14.
I saw Shadow Thief was back.
Oh, there's the He-Man and She-Ra, I Am He-Man, I Am She-Ra little golden books, which are pretty sweet. I looked at those yesterday. They're awesome. Invisible Woman number 1. Let's see...
I thought I saw, like, a Captain Kirk golden book, too, where he had, like, tribbles. Is that old?
I don't know. I got, like, 4 or 5 different golden books in. I may have just went on a golden book order spree there.
First Day of Groot. Picture book. Miles Morales 8. Murder Falcon came out in graphic novel this week. Naomi 6. Orphanage 4. Red Hood and the Outlaws 36. Savage Avengers 2, Savage Sword of Conan 7. Let's see.
That Savage Avengers has to be a... That's a second print.
Second print. Yeah. That's been...
Oh, yeah.
We're at, what, 3?
Oh, yeah. It's Star Trek Too Many Tribbles. That's what it is. Star Wars 68, Star Wars Captain Phasma, Strangelands 1, Stranger Things 7-inch Series 4 action figures came out this week. The Source, number 4. Symbiote Spider-Man 4. Thor 15. Some True Believers books. Venom 16. War of the Realms Omega 1. Watch Dogs 1. Wonder Woman 74. Wonder Twins 6. And Young Justice 7. So, alright. At this point, we're going to talk about Stranger Things.
And there'll be spoilers, so if you haven't watched it, shut it down.
So I have to say I like this season a lot better than season 2.
Yes, definitely.
Not that I didn't like season 2, but season 2 felt... There were some episodes that felt a little drawn out.
The 11 thing with her like and the rest of the like the X-Men or whatever.
I thought,
like,
that was cool. But it didn't do anything for the story. That's the problem.
It drug on so long, though.
Yeah, that was the part. Like, had that been just a one-episode thing...
That would have been fine.
That would have been fine. Maybe 2 episodes at max. And maybe if 1 or 2 of them showed up at the end to help out and were continuing parts of the story, it would have been great. But they weren't. I love the jokes, like Fat Rambo.
Yeah.
That was great.
I liked all the 80s references and stuff they threw in there. The Coke thing was great, too. Like, the new Coke thing.
One of the bad guys looking like the Terminator. Yeah. Walking like the Terminator. Talking like the Terminator.
The dude was straight up Arnold, man.
My absolute favorite thing, though, was in the second to last episode when you finally get to see Susie... And him and or her and Dustin sing the theme song to Neverending Story. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my, like they started singing it, and I was like, oh my god, is this what I think it is? And then they did like sweet harmonies, they did the whole freaking thing.
That will be the most talked about moment of the series, I'm sure. I thought that she was fake, like when we first started talking about her. I'm pretty sure a lot of people thought that too, even
right.
You know, even the other characters in the show. But then when she like popped on here, like, of course she's real.
Right. I was like, she might be real. And I'm like, they didn't really do anything with her, but that's probably a thing they're going to come back to. And then they did.
They start singing during such like a high point, like climactic high point, and it was so hilarious. Yeah,
just like the most serious moment ever. And then boom, here comes Never Ending Story.
I was like, please God, let Falcor show up somewhere in here. Like, that's like, I wanted Falcor to come in and just kick the monster's ass at that point. Oh, like, that would have been so good. Oh man. But I thought it was cool that they moved the story along to where there were things about it that I loved and I didn't. I loved that they moved the story along for the characters, but I hated that they basically made the plot the same as season one. Except Russians were doing it this time.
Oh yeah, you had to get the Red Scare in there.
Yeah. So it was just like, alright, so we're just gonna go back to the Upside Down. Rock and roll.
But they really didn't do much with the Upside Down in the actual season, though. Like, you saw that one part where, Billy was talking to himself or whatever, that weird thing, but he didn't really spend any time there.
The only time we saw was at the end there when the U.S. government has come back, and then you see, like, the ash fall, and he's, like, staring at, like,
the door.
The gap, the door. So,
and you can tell that it's been stuck, cracked open.
Yeah, it's like something's still there, which obviously, hopefully, please, season four, hopefully.
Well,
they said it's going to have at least 4 to 5 seasons.
Yeah.
So we're either going to get the end next season or the season after that.
All right, well, I was hoping they were going to end it this season, because I could have dealt with that. But I mean, you know, the post-credits scene or mid-credits, whatever you want to call that.
It was post-credits. It was the very last thing.
Yeah.
Where they fed the guy to the...
Can't kill off... My man, I'm going to call him Hooper because I like it, but I know it's Hopper. But I keep calling him Hooper.
Hopper.
It's Hopper. Two P's. I don't care. You can't kill him off. And the next season, if they do it, they need to smoke even more cigarettes. Like, a ton more, because that's what happens in the 80s.
Yeah. I thought everybody acted exactly how they did it. It was a perfect
representation. So next season, you guys, stick it to all the people that complain about smoking. Smoke even more. Please do it for everybody. It was awesome.
I thought it was cool. The only thing that I didn't see enough of was smoking in different places. Like, they didn't smoke in the mall, which was a thing in the 80s.
Yeah, true.
But you did see him
with ashtrays on top,
right?
Of them.
Yeah. But you did see him smoking in the restaurant.
Yeah.
I loved all the Magnum PI references. Yeah. I loved the "Don't mess around with Jim" singing scene.
Right.
Him scaring the shit out of Mikey was great. I thought it was cool to see the kids grow into like that age where they're like trying like. They're like, oh, we're gonna make out now.
You can't tell me Billy was not a lost boy. Like, he was like the definition of being a lost boy.
Yeah, so, yeah. That sucks that he died. I understand he's like the villain. He went out like, you know, he had a little bit of redemption there at the end. But that does suck that he died, because I would have liked to see a little bit more with him.
Had they kept the story going with him, I think I would have enjoyed him more. But I was kind of glad he died, because I wasn't impressed with him in season two. In season three,
he was the reason season two was okay. Like,
yeah,
like he was. I enjoyed him, and I liked him.
Him and his little dirt stash.
Yeah, I kind of hated that he went bad. He went away. Like, I mean, he was always an ass, but like, you know, him being the bad guy, like the minion.
Right.
I was like, damn. But
I don't know. I thought he was still pretty good. I think I did not like Max as much this season as I did the season before. Season two, she was kind of like the punk rock chick, and that's why I dug. And then now I'm just like, oh, you're just another one of the gang. Oh, right.
She'd be instigating too much drama in that scenario, too.
Oh, man.
I like the new character they got from the ice cream parlor.
Robin?
Yeah.
I really liked Robin. She was cool.
Like, she was like the smart one that figured everything out and stuff, too. So, yeah, she was just a good character.
The whole scene where they're like drugged up and just laughing about stuff, that was so good. Like, I think it's just, you know, it reminded me of like in college when you get just real baked with your buddies and you just can't stop laughing about dumb stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was
the cool interaction that I thought was hilarious too. Was when Hopper and Smirnoff was interacting. I thought that was hilarious. He called him Smirnoff the whole time. A Russian scientist called him Smirnoff. Like, really? That's hilarious. So, like, such an insult and so hilarious at the same time.
That sucked that he died too.
Yeah. Right.
And I like cartoons.
I love the whole
cartoons
scene.
Cartoons and red and cherry Slurpees. Like, right. What the hell?
I love that whole scene, though. Like, you know, Hopper comes back from, like, Burger King. He's got the Slurpee, and he's like, this is strawberry, not cherry. And then, you know, he gets the car keys, and Hopper's like, just let him go. Just let him go. He's not going anywhere. And they hear the car start, and they hear it pulling out.
He's leaving. He's taking off.
He's like, trust me. And then they get out there, and he's just sitting at the end of the driveway. And I'm like, yeah, Hopper.
Then it reverse comes back. Strawberry's okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed just everything about the season. It was just so much.
The pacing was great. I didn't feel like there was really any filler. No. It just kept going.
And going and going.
Was it
less episodes?
It was eight episodes. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. That's what it needs to be. Just eight episodes, short, sweet, to the point. Get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to double check to make sure how many episodes were in the other seasons.
Maybe this time next year we can be complaining about it like Game of Thrones or something, about how terrible it ended. If it actually has, I don't think it's ended for sure. I would think it's not, definitely not ended. But
no, I think I'm on the on that whole thing where people think that Hopper's in the cell. He's the American in the cell in Russia.
He is. Yeah, I hope so.
Well, the other thought was that he jumped into the Upside Down. And he's over there, and that the American in the cell is the guy, is the dude who got out of the helicopter.
Okay.
That doctor, like, that the Russians actually kidnapped him.
Could be, yeah. But I don't think Hopper's dead. They didn't show anything. So
I do think we've probably seen.
So the first season was 8 episodes. The second season was 9 episodes, so it just had one too many.
one more episode, but it just seemed like, I don't know, there was more than one episode.
But I
want to
know what happens with 11 and, like you said, the X-Men, like the other ones. I want to know what's going on with
That's wide open. I don't know if they're, I think they're dealing with that in the comics, because isn't that...
I didn't read the comics, no.
But I did see, like, the current story that's out now is called, like, Six.
Six.
Yeah, they're probably dealing with Six. I don't know. Do you think that it also seemed like we're getting like new cast members. I mean, you got Robin, and then you got the what's his name? His little sister. She was
hilarious. That little girl. Marcus's sister.
Yeah, or Lucas's.
Lucas. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going through the ductwork and stuff.
She ended up being
a mega nerd, and everybody was like, what?
She was the star of the season, honestly.
She was
like,
super
in many
annoying at first, but then, like, I don't know, she kind of rubs off on you. But I think she'll be taking a place.
Erica Sinclair.
Yeah, no doubt, she will. She was awesome.
Yeah, I really, really like that. I also liked how we explained... They explained why Billy's obsessed with Mrs. Wheeler, because she looks like his mom.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man. So,
do you think Winona Ryder's character and like her, that whole family is gone since they moved away?
He took 11 with him. No,
I don't think so.
11 could come back on her own.
Well, true.
Well, I think Winona Ryder might be done. But I think the kids will come back.
She still be looking pretty good. Winona's not too bad looking. So I hope she's not gone.
She's totally dressed like the 80s mom, though. It's great. I love it. In that verge of 90s, you know?
I'm surprised she didn't move out after the end of the second season.
Right,
like,
when Bob died?
Yeah, well, like your
when
kid,
Rudy died.
Your kid got, like... Jacked by the underworld, and then you got messed up in the second season too, and then you lost your boyfriend, and you know it's just like, this town is bad. Let's get away from here.
She's got to come back for Hopper though.
It'd be like the Brodies in Jaws. Yeah. Like, when do you move away from the beach? Like, right. You've seen enough of the shark.
Eventually, those two got to get together. So,
right, or they don't, or they'll just both die,
or die, yeah.
or she'll die, and then Hopper will be the one that's left by himself.
Was I the only one disappointed in what they made the Mind Flayer look like? I thought it was a little bit...
Where it's, like, made of meat?
Yeah, like, in the Upside Down, they've always made, like, this big, like...
Shadow kinda, monster?
Yeah, like, I thought they could have... Like, maybe that's not the actual Mind Flayer. Maybe there's something else bigger yet.
Well, I'm hoping. The thing came from, like, a piece of the original one.
Yeah.
It was, like, its leg or whatever that was still stuck in this dimension.
Because it was the stuff that was stuck in Will. Yeah.
And it didn't come alive until the door got opened again. Yeah. So it had its link there. So maybe this one. Because it just used meat to form itself. It used the rats and people and stuff like that. So maybe it's just that one.
I'm hoping so, because I want something. I wanted something more. Bigger, more imposing, even though it was humongous.
It did look like a giant shit monster.
it did kind of look like a shit monster. I really enjoyed that the guys from the newspaper totally died, because those guys were pricks. Yeah.
Jake Busey.
Yeah.
And his teeth.
Bob and Tom, I think, were their names, right? Oh, I know, right? And I love that the mayor is the dude from Princess Bride. So, because I was explaining that to somebody, like, I've never seen Princess Bride. I'm like, what kind of a nerd are you?
I've never seen.
And then I said, and then I was like, have you seen Robin Hood Men in Tights? And they're like, nope.
Have you
and
seen
I'm like,
Saw?
And then I'm like, have you seen the first Saw movie? So, and he's like, yeah, I've seen that. I'm like, oh, that guy. And he's like, oh. So, but I just thought it was cool. I thought the names that were calling the teams were great, because it was like Scoops Troop, Bald Eagle, and I forget what it was. The family. It was like,
I can't remember. It was what like was.
It wasn't Brady Bunch, but it was something like that. It was really funny.
I can't remember what the other one was.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was fantastic.
Show that we need to review here coming up is The Boys, whenever that releases later this month. I think it's like a couple weeks away.
I don't have Prime, so I can't watch it.
Well, you need to get Prime, because did you read The Boys?
Yes.
Then it looks...
awesome! Oh, dude, somebody posted a picture earlier today of somebody painted this on two buildings in New York, where it's like these kids playing basketball, and then there's like a giant superhero, and he just shoots, like, with his eye beams, just cuts their heads off. And he's just like, yeah! And it's like coming to Amazon Prime, The Boys! And I was like,
that's awesome.
I kind of need to. And then it was like, it's not always great to meet your heroes, whatever the tagline is from The Boys. So
you need to put a plug out there for Amazon for John. Get John some free Amazon Prime. Just to watch The Boys so we can review it.
Right? That'd be cool. I'd be all right with that.
So looking forward to that. Stranger Things is done for me now. Now I'm looking forward to that. That's what I got going. The Boys is the only thing I care about.
Yeah, I
got
to finish up Swamp Thing. It's been good so far.
There is talk of the DC streaming going completely away and just being absorbed into the Warner Brothers one.
I figure I'm waiting for that to happen, to be honest.
And I think the Swamp Thing fiasco is the catalyst. So
I mean, they still have Pennyworth coming out, which it looks boring to me. I really don't care. I don't care what Alfred did. I understand he was like a James Bond, like super spy guy and all that. I don't care. Like, whatever.
It's like Earth One.
Where
he's like the shotgun tote and awesome MI5 guy.
Yeah,
sweet.
And I'm pretty sure that's what they're gonna take to Comic Con to like show people too.
There was another show that they just announced. The Sandman's going to Netflix.
Yeah, that might be potentially
huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually how I found out about the Warner Brothers thing, is because I was like, why wouldn't they put it on the DC streaming? And then somebody was like, it looks like it's not going to happen. And
I'm curious if although
Lucifer's on Netflix, and that's another Vertigo property, so maybe it's just that whole thing.
I'm curious if they'll use those characters in the Sandman stuff. Like, if they'll use Lucifer, if they'll use Constantine, because he shows up every once in a while in there, and he's like decent.
And the CW
of the first story.
Yeah.
And the CW has like that contract with Netflix where I think it's like a week after the finales air on TV, they put the whole season on.
They haven't put Constantine because I have yet to get to watch or yet to watch Swamp Thing. They haven't put Constantine with Swamp Thing yet, have they?
No, he's not going to be on there.
See, now that's a shame right there.
Right. Well, that's why I was hoping for a second season of Swamp Thing.
But it does make sense for Lucifer to show up in Sandman.
Right.
Because that's where he came from.
Both, yeah. But both of them, honestly, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see, though. I mean, it's kind of cool. I dig it.
Are you guys nervous for that? I'm talking about a movie now. Is Joker... I am super nervous.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, I am super nervous. I'm about to write that.
I've already written that off.
I am.
Don't even care.
So many.
I am
things.
Curiously.
Curious. Yes.
Curiously cautious about it, or optimistically cautious, because I think it might be. I think it might be cool to see a new take on him, but it doesn't tie into anything.
No, they said
so. It's almost like, okay, you have two options. This movie can either be wicked sweet and just blow everybody out of the water, or it's Catwoman.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's going to be like Catwoman.
Because they said it has nothing whatsoever to do with anything Joker-oriented.
Really?
Like, they said there's nothing. No connection can be made. They developed their own story.
Huh.
So you're going to take an absolutely iconic character... and turn it, like...
Yeah,
it's either going to be very, 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 very good, or
no in between.
Terrible. There is no
happy medium. We've had comics like that, though, too, where it's focused on a specific character, and it kind of went, here's a thing. Kind of like the Earth One stuff. The Earth One stuff changed a lot of background, not too far out of the realm, but it was kind of like, meh, here you go. And we've also had books like Azzarello's Joker that... you know, didn't have anything to do with anything until now that Batman Dam came out as a sequel to it.
It looks like
a cheesy...
It also looks like they're going to try to relate the Joker to the Waynes, and...
That'd be a mistake.
I don't want to see that. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm just very intrigued to see how it plays out. Like, I kind of want to see it to find out what they do with it. And I think a lot of people are going to go see it because of that.
Like, so it's Joaquin Phoenix is an awesome actor.
I know, and that's the other thing is that, like, he is so good that I can't see it being a bad movie. Yeah. But it could turn out like Superman Returns, where it's extremely well acted with a garbage script.
The only thing good about that movie is Kevin Spacey, and that's probably nobody wants to hear that me say that. Kevin Spacey was an awesome Lex Luthor.
He was.
I didn't care. He was awesome.
He was good at acting like Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I thought he was
less eccentric. Yeah,
a
he
lot.
Upgraded. Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't as kooky. Jesse Eisenberg tried to be the kooky Gene Hackman and couldn't pull it off.
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, he was more of a Riddler to me.
I just watched that movie... the other day when it was on TV, and I was just like, oh my god, this is so bad.
Did you get 15 minutes in and be like, click, gone.
I still like every DC movie's a masterwork. I will never hear different masterwork of every DC movie, don't argue.
Do you want people to take your reviews seriously and your opinion seriously?
But they hear me laughing. They know.
Good lord, man.
But
anyway, it was...
see what happens in the movie
world. We'll see, though. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know if I'm going to see it. If I get a screener for it, I'll definitely go. If I got to pay to see it, maybe.
Take your word. You see movies before anybody else I know does. So I always ask you what you thought of it. So,
I mean, I think
Joker, I'm nervous.
Like TJ and I were talking about Spider-Man, and he kind of said he felt pretty much the same way I did about it.
I still haven't seen it yet. So. I will eventually one of these
days. Yeah, like they nailed Mysterio. And
I hope they don't do a lot of the changes they say they're going to do, though, or what they're... They've made some idea changes about Spider-Man and this stuff. Just keep him like the comic books, please. So
they pretty much did.
For the future is what they're talking about. Oh. Just changing a lot of his... please keep him like the comics, please, Marvel.
Well, I mean, if they do the he's the next Iron Man thing, that's very much to like the... two reboots ago of Iron Earth's Amazing Spider-Man,
where it was Parker
Industries, right. Where he took over for it after he inherited it after Tony died.
I didn't like that. That seemed out of place and not in his character. I just didn't dig it.
Stick to the comics, Marvel. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I just want to see a good Fantastic Four, and
that's going to be a challenge.
The thing is, though. the Johnny Storm has to be like in high school or early college, because him and Peter have to be friends. If they are not like hit it off best friends, then I'm gonna be really mad. Because that's like a huge deal for
That would be sweet. They could do that. Like, okay, Pete graduates high school, goes off to college, and that's his roommate.
Or maybe Peter and him were in the same class before the blip, and then Johnny's now older. Right? That'd be kind of cool. I think that'd be cool.
the blip.
And then, like, you know, maybe he does go to college. He gets an apartment and Johnny Storm's, like, next door or something. Or he is an apartment in the Baxter building somewhere. So, because then they could do the whole, they could do an Annihilation storyline. They could do Death of Johnny Storm. They could do Spider-Man Takes Over and the Future Foundation thing.
I still think the most important part of any Fantastic Four thing that they do, Fantastic Four aside, you got to get Doom right. You have to nail that character. You can't have some, like, wisecracking jackass stealing Silver Surfer surfboard and stuff and making one-liners, zingy one-liners. That just doesn't work.
I really don't want them to do Doom until the second Fantastic Four movie. I would like to see either Annihilus, Blastar, or...
You could just do Mole Man on the first one.
Yeah, they could do Mole Man, or they could do Galactus. Yeah.
And not a big... cloud.
Or, like, or
Jesus. He was there! He saw the silhouette of the helmet through the cloud!
someone mentioned the other day, they were like, what if Galactus, what if they'll, when they do finally bring all the Marvel stuff in, like, the Galactus, because Galactus is what, a celestial, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what if they do, that is their, like, that is the big bad. Like, he's the next Thanos. Like, it's gonna be 18 movies, or 10 movies, but we'll get to the point where we get Galactus, and that's where everybody comes together.
Well, yeah, you could actually, and you could sort of humanize him, too, because Galactus is not evil. He's just hungry.
Yeah, but they've got to make him they've just got to make him monotone. He can't be little jokes and this and that. He's always just been monotone,
right.
Scientific, leave it be. Have him try to destroy everything, and that's it. Don't make him humorous.
Except for that one time when he joined the Phoenix Suns in that ultimate
yeah.
His orange suit, that was garbage.
Right. So, anyway, I think we've talked enough. Thanks for listening to the Toddcast, and we'll catch you next time. Later. I'm John, this is...
TJ.
And...
Bo.
Alright, later guys.